You're a good-looking crowd. Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. Always a privilege, always an honor to stand before you with the Word of God between us. What a joy. What a blessing. Always to His glory and our joy. Amen. Hopeful memories. Upon reflection, we will come to recognize, perhaps acknowledge, that Christianity, being a Christian, is pretty much all about memories. It's remembering. Jesus said, as often as you do this, this do in remembrance of me. We live a Christian life by remembering what God has said to us and how He would have us to live. This being November, maybe a surprise to some of you, often is to me. November, the month of Thanksgiving. Certainly, as Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, we have much to be thankful for. And as I was thinking, preparing, I certainly had much to think about with regard to that which I am thankful. For I'm thankful for you. More specifically, more accurately, I'm thankful for y'all. The corporate you, the collective you, the collective entity that is the church, that which the Bible calls the body of Christ. And so, of course, in my thinking of thankfulness for you, I thought of Philippians chapter 1, verses that I have preached from time and time again. But they are so, so very wonderful to remember. And so as the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, he wrote, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. And I am certain the apostle would have said sovereign grace if he had been thinking about it. Thankfulness in memories. All of you weren't there, but several of us were. Sitting around that picnic table out by Richard's Pond. And that night, that day, that afternoon, that evening, who knows what time it was? No, okay. I had within me an amazing sense that God was present and moving in us at that time. And we said, what shall we do? We got to go to church. And from that day forward, we began to gather as a people of the Lord whom we saw giving us the destiny to be his church. I felt that confidently, even on that first occasion, sitting around that table. And of course, the Lord blessed, the Lord moved among us, shone his light upon us, and the marvelous blessings that followed for me when I learned from Ben those marvelous biblical lessons, biblical understanding of what it means to be the church. Praise God, there is meaning, there is a standard, there is a direction that is for those who would be the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over the course of the following years, sitting down as necessary with Kenny and Ben, having what we called elders' meetings, often just really good fellowship. Do you know we never vote? We meet, the three of us sit down together and talk about stuff. I'm going to tell you what we talk about, mostly you. We never vote. Never. As a matter of fact, it's one of our first principles. We're not going to vote. We're going to either decide together or we ain't going to decide. I think it's a good principle. There are those wonderful meetings, mutual respect. Mutual respect that creates an atmosphere of listening, learning, leading, and laboring. I could preach on those 4 points, but that's not our message for today. But it has certainly been the blessing of serving alongside these two men that, again, I am so very confident that are serving as elders in this church because God ordained that they should be elders in this church. Thank you, Father. I have known the blessings, young folks growing in the Lord. What a blessing to me. How much love was shared around that fire. Here, Sunday or so back, celebrating 10 years and hearing you confidently acknowledge the riches of God's blessings in his church. Oh, what a joy that was to me. How I praise God for every word you said, for your courage, for your conviction. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And of course, throughout the years, perhaps one of the most remarkable blessings has been as I listen to you share your testimony. As you filled out the paperwork and went and listened to Ben one more time, and then stood before God's people and said, "This is what Christ has done in my life." Was there ever a one that was not just full of joy and thanksgiving? Not one. Christ has been glorified time and time and time again by those who would become part of this church. Praise God. Certainly, in memory, I thank God for every action, every circumstance in this church, in my experience, has been a gift from him. And while I cannot honestly, with total honesty, say that every prayer for you was offered with joy. There have been trying times. And as often as I was accused of being passive-aggressive, I was thankful for the grace to keep my own counsel. That's the passive part. And seek forgiveness for the aggressive part. But more often than not, my prayers were with great joy. For I often remarked that the Lord had opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings upon us, blessings beyond our ability to comprehend. For these are God's blessings. Among the greatest of these blessings, your partnership in the gospel. You are a gospel church. The gospel is taught, the gospel is preached religiously. Every member of this partnership has an intimate, firsthand, personal relationship with the good news. I've always found that little two-word phrase in our text this morning in Philippians, where the Apostle Paul says to them, he says, "My God." Now that phrase has been misused, misunderstood, misinterpreted. You hear people say, well, my God wouldn't do that, or my God is going to do this. Well, what they're talking about is their idol. What the God that they've created, not the God that created them. But the apostle is not making that error. He very intentionally, very purposefully uses the phrase, "my God." For he wants them to know in his prayers for them, that church at Philippi, whom he loved so much, he wanted to know that in his prayers were to God, with whom he had a very personal, intimate relationship. He is my God. As much as I would say, Karen is my wife, to the Apostle Paul, the Lord God was a heavenly Father with whom he had a real personal relationship. And it is so among us. For this is a church steeped in the gospel, a partnership in the gospel, having in us that personal relationship with the good news that Jesus Christ, God the Son, has come in the flesh, that he was crushed for our iniquities, was laid in a borrowed tomb. He rose on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, from whence he will come again to gather his own unto himself, and hence we will live with him for all eternity. That's good news. We're not a shouting church. Probably a good thing. Some of you'd get carried away. But if we were, that amen would be lifting the rafters. That's good news. The gospel is who we are. The gospel informs who we are in Christ. It is good news. It is our watchword. We stand by the five solas. We trust, agree with the tulip. But it is the gospel that undergirds all that we say, all that we do, all that we believe. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So now, You are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. This partnership in the gospel is a living organism. You are the body of Christ. You are the means by which Christ functions in the world today. Considering that whole passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's clear that God is not talking about a body as an organization. Not a metaphor, not an analogy, not a simile. You are not like the body of Christ. You are not sort of the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Amen. The body made up of many members. Just soak on that for a second. Is it not a glorious thing to be a member of the body of Christ? Real, actual, truly a member. And you know, you hopefully you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 12, right? Some of you are legs, some of you are elbows, right? We recognize that while we are all members of the body of Christ, made up of many members, let him who boast, remember? Let him who boast, boast in the Lord. That is, have pride in yourself as a member of the body of Christ, because God has made it so. It is God who, and by his sovereign grace, transformed you to be a member of the body of Christ. Praise God. What a glorious blessing that is. Fulfillment, joy, peace, hope in Jesus Christ. Take a look around you. Look to your left, look to your right, look before you, look behind you. And what do you see? Do you see Christ? For each of you are members of the body of Christ. And when you see one another, when you consider that other member of the church, that member of the body of Christ, do not shy away from the glorious work of God the Holy Spirit, who now abides in each of you. When you see that fellow church member, when you relate to that fellow church member, when you talk to that fellow church member, always be aware you are talking to a member of the body of Christ who is indwelled by the Spirit of God. We're not talking about some fancy, far-flung, weird, religious something. We're talking about the reality of what God has done. As much as God created this earth and all that is in it, God worked in his people to bring about this relationship with one another. Embrace it. For the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. And I don't want you to get your brain all tied in knots trying to understand what God is doing. Receive it, accept it, believe it, embrace it. Now, every time I think I've stood in this pulpit, I've probably talked about this, but it's probably the only illustration I know. I just love space exploration. I wrote that sentence And I later come back and read it, and I said, how arrogant of you. You ain't no astronaut. But that's not the kind of space exploration I'm talking about. I love the new space telescopes that constantly bring back pictures of things in the cosmos that have literally never before been seen by men. And like I said before, no matter how far out they look, how far, there's more yet. They keep saying, yeah, see the little ones way off there, those are there yet. Not yet, but amazing things to see. Unknown, indescribable. Love those pictures. I also enjoyed following physics, especially that which is called quantum mechanics. The Large Hadron Collider near Geneva, Switzerland, is ever reporting having discovered the fundamental particle of all matter. That is, until it splits that particle into its fundamental particles. The largest matter in the universe, the very infinitesimally smallest matter in the universe, are the work of God, the creator of all. Both are beyond my comprehension. I can't wrap my mind around either one. I can't even say some of it, you noticed. I just embrace it. I embrace the glory of God in his handiwork. So, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Not sure I can wrap my mind around that. That God is dwelling in you. That God is in you. I believe it. I accept it. I embrace it. Comprehend it? No. You don't need to be a great theologian. For you are the body of Christ. And individually, members of it. The many members of the body of Christ have the advantage of diversity. Bet you'd never thought you'd hear Bill saying that line. The members of the body of Christ have the advantage of diversity that the world does not understand, cannot duplicate, and will never perpetuate. The church, the body of Christ, certainly has a diversity of persons. I'm not Ben. Yeah, you got that right. I'm not Kenny. Yeah. Kenny's not me. Amen. And each of you, each of the church members is a different person. We certainly have a diversity of persons. And if you stop with what is as plain as the nose on your face, you might conclude that the strength of this organization is in the diversity of persons, but not so. You would be very foolish to come to that conclusion, because you are the body of Christ. And individually members thereof. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I can say with absolute certainty, God can be trusted. God's word can be trusted. And it is God who does the apportioning, doing so according to his purpose. It is a no-brainer to say God is working towards his end, his goal, his desire. Now you are the body of Christ, and God has provided in you the authority, the means, and the knowledge to accomplish His desire. Embrace it. Live it. For a variety of reasons, some will say, I'm not so sure about that. Well, I knew a fellow received an invitation to a party. And he thought to himself, that fellow doesn't really know how to throw a good party. I'm going to pass it up. I'm not going. He learned later on that the party was an absolute blast. It was as much fun as anybody had had in a long time. It seems that what he thought about the host and his ability to throw a party had no impact whatsoever on the fun that was had at the party by the participants, that those who accepted the invitation. His unbelief was his loss. I can say with absolute certainty, God can be trusted. As He has apportioned to each one individually as He wills. His church, the body of Christ, will accomplish His purpose for His glory. The apostle spoke of the foundation of the church in Corinth, Jesus Christ. He allowed us how a building only has one foundation. And so the church can have no other foundation than that which has been laid, Jesus Christ. His further point is that it is then the responsibility of the church to build on the foundation that has been laid. And he speaks of the possibilities being gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. As in the past 10 years, I believe a foundation has been laid for Sovereign Grace Church. A foundation of Jesus Christ. I ask you today, what then will you build upon that foundation? Who will lead? Who will follow? Who will labor? Who will keep watch against the enemy? Who will sacrifice? Again, we are encouraged by God's word. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I would encourage you to rejoice in God's calling. Rejoice in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and be ever mindful of a still more excellent way. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so Christ commands us that you love one another as I have loved you. The Apostle John was inspired to remind us, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. The individual members of the body of Christ surely must love one another. Love in fellowship, love in community, love in preaching and teaching, love in the good news of Jesus Christ. We are told in the book of Acts, in that first century Jerusalem church, all who believed were together and had all things in common. I tell you what, that is so easy to just skip on past that one. I've seen the biggest bleeding heart liberals you can imagine flee from that verse like it had nuclear radiation. And while I would agree that it does not constitute a required practice for the church, I do see an illustration of the practice of love one another. I have it. You need it. It's yours. Love one another. If it's not sacrificial, it's not godly love. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have life eternal. For God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If it's not sacrificial, it's not godly love. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We need to remember what our future holds. We need to remember that Christ has promised, that God has said, that Jesus told us as He was about to go to the cross, He said, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In that day, all will be fulfilled. All will be satisfied. All will be complete on the day of His appearing. This is where we are headed. Remembering all God has promised. Believing in all Christ has done. Laboring in the presence of God's Holy Spirit. We hope. In faith we hope. Come, Lord Jesus. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, the body of Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen.